there in your Old Testament to Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, right around there. Amen. Genesis, Exodus, Nehemiah. No, not really. I'll really confuse you there. But Nehemiah chapter 6. And once you found your place, go ahead and stand one last time. We'll read beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him in verse 8, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Notice what verse 9 says, For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Let me leave off reading there. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help this morning. Lord, I know that this is what you would have me to preach. And Lord, I thank you for the overwhelming calm and peace in my heart, knowing, God, what the message is for this hour for your people. But God, I pray for fullness of your Holy Spirit wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to pick up this morning along the lines of the temptations that we've been talking about for several weeks over the last few Sunday nights. I want to preach to you the third part of how to avoid satanic temptations. How to avoid satanic temptations. You know, God tries our faith, I told you. God wants to make us stronger through trials of our faith. But Satan tempts our flesh. Satan puts things before us trying to make us sin. God never tempts you to sin. Never. Matter of fact, God hates sin. We talked about that in Sunday school. God wants to make us better.
That's right.
Satan wants to make us bitter. God wants to make us be fortified, strengthened. God, Satan wants us to fail.
That's right.
He will laugh at you. He will love to see you quit. If you want to laugh, go somewhere else. Listen. God wants to stabilize us, settle us, establish our faith. Listen, Satan wants to stomp you, kids. Listen to me.
All right.
He wants to stomp you. And you need to listen. God wants us to be His. Satan wants us to be history. God wants us to be sweet. Satan would love for us to be sour. God wants us to grow. Satan wants us to groan.
That's right.
God wants us to love Him. Satan wants us to lose everything. God wants us to latch on to the Bible and never let it go. Satan wants us to let go and live a little. God wants us to be safe and sound. Satan wants us to be statistics. Used to be. God wants us to be somebody. You know what? Listen to me. When you get saved, you become somebody to God. You know, you may not feel like you're anybody to this world. And quite frankly, Jesus wasn't really either. But when God saves you and gives you everlasting life, He makes you somebody. You become a citizen of heaven.
That's right.
You are somebody.
That's right.
You're no longer a nobody. You are somebody to God.
That's right.
God wants to make us wiser. Satan wants to make us whine. God wants to develop our character. Satan wants to destroy us and conquer us. God wants us to be perfect and entire. Satan wants us to be poor and empty. God wants us to fill us with more grace. Satan wants to feed us more of his garbage. God wants our lives to abound with blessings. That's what you teenagers don't understand, is that this life will never do anything but burden you down and beat you up. The only source of blessings is in God's Word, not anywhere else. There's no other source of blessing in this life. Satan wants us to abhor and detest all that is godly. God wants to teach us to walk away from sin. Satan wants us to weep bitter tears of shame.
Amen.
Some of you probably already wept those tears before, and you're glad to be saved. And listen, I sometimes would love to take all of the times that I've wept and disgrace and shame and defeat, and I would like to take them and hold them up before my children, other children, teenagers who think they're so smart that they don't need anything but a new phone, and make them see how ungodly and wicked this world really is, and how good they have it to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning.
That's right. Come on.
God says, I will never tempt you to sin. I will never drive you to the world. Satan, however, is in the driver's seat with the pedal to the metal saying, let's go, jump in. I'm going to the world, and you follow him, you're going to find out what it means to weep bitter tears.
Amen.
Sin has always been the enemy of God. But temptation, now listen to me, temptation is the door that leads to sin. Temptation in itself is not a sin.
That's right.
Temptation in itself is not a sin, but it is the doorway to sin.
Right.
This door is not the room, but this door opens up to get me into the room. And whatever's in that room, I've got to go through the door first. Whatever sin that Satan has waiting for you, temptation is the door that to get you there.
That's right.
And so it would be wise for us to learn to avoid the door.
Well.
To learn to discern, dear God, you people, we need to learn to decide and be able to tell, that door is leading me to sin and sorrow and suffering. This door is the door that leads me to life and everlasting hope and peace. I'm going to avoid that door. I'm going to go through this door.
Oh, right.
But instead we go like this. Is it really that bad? Well, let me just try it.
Well,
and listen to me. Satan puts those doors in our lives every day.
Come
on. Try this door. There used to be a game show. I can't remember what it was, but you choose the door. What's behind the door is what you get. I don't remember. That was a long time ago. But anyway, let's make a deal. No, that wasn't it. I don't remember what it was. Was it something like that? Okay, anyway. You got to choose a door, and if it was a piece of newspaper behind the door, well, that's what you got. Well, if it was a new car behind that door, that's what you got. You picked the door and you just had to guess. But listen, can I tell you something? You don't have to live your Christian life like that.
That's right.
You don't have to just guess which door is best.
That's right.
Christians, God's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's given us the church, and He's given us the Bible. And so why? So we don't have to guess which door we have to go. We should learn to be wise and discerning.
Come on.
Amen.
And stay away from the temptation and follow that which is good.
Amen.
Temptation, though, is everywhere. And I preached to you over the last few weeks on Sunday nights. That's why some of you don't remember, but it was Sunday nights. And I told you, number one thing that we should remember to avoid temptation is gratitude. I told you about Joseph and how he was sold into slavery by his own brethren, and how he was bought by Potiphar there in Egypt, a little Jewish boy now who's having to slave for an Egyptian man, all because his brethren didn't like him, because his brethren sold him into slavery. And he had done nothing wrong. He had committed no sin. He was simply disliked because of his righteousness and their unrighteousness. And by the way, don't forget, you need to learn that lesson, is that if people don't like you because you're right, then you just need to go on anyway, realizing that they crucified the Savior.
Yep. That's right.
And I would rather identify with Him than with them.
Yep. Come on.
Joseph hadn't done anything wrong.
That's right.
But he was a slave.
Amen.
And then this harlot came to him and said, "Lie with me."
Come on.
And he said, "No."
That's right.
Amen. No.
Amen.
And not only that, but listen, he fled. He ran out the house.
Amen.
She grabbed his coat on the way out, and then she started a sob story. "Oh, this Jewish boy you brought in here, he's trying to take advantage of me. He's trying to force me." And her husband believed her, and he was thrown in jail. But here's what I want you to understand, is the reason, see, that woman saying, "Lie with me," that's not a sin.
That's right.
But it sure is a temptation.
Yep.
For a young man, listen, whose life was not turning out like he thought it was supposed to.
Amen.
He had not done anything wrong. He was doing everything right. God was with him and blessing him, as a matter of fact. And so what he did is he realized this is a door to sin.
Amen.
This is a great temptation. And there was, listen, hey, there was nobody else in the house.
Nope.
Nobody else in the house.
That's right.
Mom and Dad aren't home. The preacher's not here.
Mom.
Husband's not here. Wife's not here. Nobody else is around. There's that door. Temptation.
Amen.
And you know what he said to her? He said, "You wicked harlot." He said, "I'm never going to do anything with you because I have a God in heaven who has blessed me, who has provided for me.
Right.
And even though everything's not turning out like I thought it would, God is still my God, and I'm not going to be unfaithful to Him."
Amen.
Amen. Come on.
So he fled. He fled because he was thankful for what he had.
That's right.
You don't, by the way, you don't have to have material possessions and riches of this world to be thankful. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved?
Yes.
That's the greatest thing you could ever have.
That's right.
That's the greatest wealth you could ever possess.
Whoa.
Because that's the only thing that's eternal.
Amen.
Everything else is going to burn.
Amen.
So when temptation comes, one of the greatest ways to avoid it is to keep a heart filled with gratitude. Thanksgiving.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, which we are in, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. Because men are going to be unthankful.
Amen.
Unthankful.
That's right.
And when somebody does something nice for you, it ought to be second nature. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Why is that so hard for you to say. Thank you. Thank you. You know, the person who doesn't say thank you, they live their lives expecting everybody to do things for them. That's why they're not thankful. They live their lives expecting everything to revolve around them. They live their lives as if they're the center of the universe. It's not the solar system, it's the Samuel system, or the Chris system, or the Shelby system.
Amen.
It's God's universe. It's God's world. And we are His creation. This world does not revolve around us. We are saved. We are redeemed. We have been born again. We have been given everlasting life. When Satan comes with his temptations, we ought to be thankful that we're saved and give God the glory and flee the fornication, flee the temptation. Number two, I said, the second reason we ought to give up on temptation and stay away from it is because of grief.
Right. Amen.
Grief. See, when we see the temptation, we think of the pleasure. The fun. And quite frankly, the Bible says that sin for a season is fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Pleasurable for a season until you wake up.
Right.
Amen. Pregnant. Amen. With some incurable disease.
Yep.
Addicted. Broken home. Broken family. Broken marriage. The Bible uses the word grief when speaking of Jabez. And when you study that word, I told you, it literally means to carve. Carve up. I've got a smaller knife this time. But when you choose the door of temptation to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, you're carving yourself up.
That's right.
With grief. Scars that don't go away. Oh, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. Scars that don't go away. Especially up here.
Yep.
Especially up here.
That's right.
Grief that comes from sin ought to help us avoid temptation.
Amen.
Number three today, the third thing I'm going to talk to you about in the Bible that ought to help us avoid temptation is the great work of serving God. Now, again, let me quickly hurry here. But in Nehemiah chapter 6, I read to you a story of a man named Nehemiah who had been sent back, look in verse 1, it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall. Nehemiah was sent back to rebuild a wall around Jerusalem. Rebuild a wall around Jerusalem. You say, well, wow, what's the big deal about building a wall? Well, the fact is, it's a big deal because it was God's work. It was a work that God had for him to do. It was a big deal because he was building something for God. Listen to what I just said. Let me repeat myself. It was, he says in verse 3, he sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing, notice, a great work.
That's right.
He was putting stones on top of stones and slapping some slimy mortar and another stone and some slimy mortar and another stone. It wasn't luxury work. It wasn't comfortable work. It was hard work. It was sweaty labor. It was burdensome. It was no doubt painful. But listen, it was a work that God had given him to do. And when the enemies came and said, why don't you come down for a minute? By the way, when somebody tempts you to come down from the great work, it's always a step down.
That's right. Yep.
Heaven is up. God is dwelling in heaven above.
That's right.
Hell is always down.
Yep.
He was up on a wall. And his enemies came to him and said, "Won't you come down? We want to have a meeting." Listen, listen now. We just want to talk.
That's right.
We just want to talk about this thing.
Come on.
And he said, the Bible says he sent a messenger to them. He didn't even leave the work long enough to tell them no. He said, "Why don't you go tell them no? I'm not quitting the great work."
That's right. Amen.
And then they came again. And they came again.
Amen.
And they came again.
That's right.
And they came again.
Come on.
And then they brought a letter. Again, they sent him a letter. And they began to make up lies about how he was going to take over the city, and they were going to rebel against the king. And he says in verse 8, "I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart." He said, "You're making all that up." But he then says in verse 9, listen now, I want you to understand this. "For they all made us afraid." Now stop right there and stop. No, wait. Here's a man doing a great work for God, whose enemies are doing everything they can to stop him.
That's right. Amen.
Now, he had not committed a sin, but the temptation was there to come down off the wall.
Right. Amen.
But listen to me. He said that they were making them afraid. Can I tell you something? We ought to be afraid of what our enemies can do to us.
Amen.
This idea of, "Well, I don't fear anybody. I don't fear Satan. I don't fear anything. I don't fear sin. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." I understand all that, but you better learn to fear evil.
Amen.
You better learn, like we just read it in the scripture. Brother DeShazo said, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers." Beware means to be careful. And to even have a little bit of holy fear. Not because they're going to overcome you, but because if you give in to them, you're going to be overcome. You ought to learn to listen, because if you're afraid of it, you're not going to mess with it.
That's right. Come on.
Maybe that's why I said beware of dogs. Big, ugly, mean, growling, snarling, drooling dogs. And when that dog is behind the fence and he's trying to maul that fence to get at me, I don't want to go across that fence.
That's right. Amen.
I think I'll just wave goodbye.
Amen.
Yeah, that'll pull out my gun, maybe. The fact is, we ought to understand that there is good fear. We should learn to fear what the devil can do to us. But the fact is, what Nehemiah was afraid of was the fact that they were trying to get him down off the wall so that the work would cease. He says, look again in verse 3. "I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down." Notice what he says. "Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" Now, don't miss this now. Stay with me. He was only one man. Now, granted, he was the leader. But the whole city of Jerusalem was working on this wall all around the city. Each man was working where his house was. He was building this wall by his house. He was building it by his house. So together they were building the whole wall. But Nehemiah said, "Why should the work cease and I come down to you?" What is he? I'm only one man. Was he that arrogant? No, listen to me. The work that he was doing would have to cease. And when his work ceases, then the whole work, the whole job, it begins to be less than what it should be.
Amen.
Every single one of us has work to do in building what God has given us.
Right.
God builds. Satan burns. God says, I want to build you, young men, into men.
That's right.
Satan says, I want you to become sissies.
Come on.
God didn't come up with same-sex marriage.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
Satan talked them down off the wall. They were born men. Now they claim that they're coming out of the closet because they were born. No. No man is born homosexual.
That's right. Amen.
Just like no man is born alcoholic. It's not a disease. It's sin.
That's right.
It's a depravity of the sinful nature. It's somebody who's allowed Satan to talk them down off the wall.
Yep.
Drugs.
Amen.
Cigarettes.
Amen.
Divorce. Adultery. Fornication.
Yep.
Piercing. Tattooing.
Well.
Gossip.
Amen.
Satan has talked you down off the wall.
That's right.
God builds Christians. God builds homes. God builds marriages.
Amen.
God builds churches.
Amen.
God builds homes.
Hello.
God builds hearts.
That's right.
Satan has come to steal, kill, and
destroy.
Amen. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, enemies of God.
That's right, come on.
Said, come on down, Nehemiah, we just want to talk for a minute.
Amen.
After all, what are you really doing that's important? I mean, you're building a wall.
That's right.
That wall was to keep the enemy out of the city.
Yep.
It's a great work when you finally decide to build walls around your heart to
Amen.
keep Satan out.
Amen. Try it.
But you also know, I want to tell you, maybe this hadn't dawned on you, but it's work.
Yep.
It's work.
Amen.
But it's a great work.
Yep.
Amen. That's right.
It's the greatest work in this world.
Hello.
Why do we pray, preacher, for our children not to go into sin?
Yep.
Because we're building walls around their lives. Why, preacher, do you spank your children? Because we're building walls around their lives to keep the foolishness out.
Yep.
Preacher, why? Why do you have fellowship time at church? Why do you have preaching? Why do you get so worked up? Because we're building walls around our hearts to keep Satan away.
Right.
It's a great work. Why do we run those vans? I mean, after all, they cost money. They cost gas. They cost labor. They cost insurance. They cost tires. They cost maintenance. Because it's a great work to get these kids in the church and out of the world.
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
But temptation is going to come.
Right.
And you're going to stop giving your tithes.
Well.
Oh, preacher, money?
Nope.
You were just amening a minute ago.
That's right. Come on.
Your tithes God used to build this church.
Yep.
Everything in this room, this building, every time these lights come on, they're paid for by God's people's tithes.
That's right.
These chairs, every bit of furniture,
that's right,
through tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Why? So God can take what we have and build a great work.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
But temptation comes and says, I can't afford it this week.
Come on.
Satan says, just come down. Just 1 week. Just 1 week. I mean, after all, you got to pay your bills. You got to feed your family. Just come on down 1 week. And come on. God understands. Yeah, he understands that we're rotten.
Yep.
And that we're disobedient. And Satan, temptation, will overcome us if we don't remember that even giving my tithes and offerings is a great work.
Right.
Every time I give to these missionaries, they're building walls all around the world. They're building up walls against sin and against slavery and against rape and abuse. They're bringing children off the streets in the Philippines, children off the streets in Croatia, and children off the street, little gypsy kids who have nothing but dirt in their house and one pair of clothes, but now they're saved, amen. And they're going to heaven, amen, because God's people have a great work to do.
Amen.
Yep.
Great work. Well, I'm just giving some money, preacher. No. You're missing the point.
Right.
And if that's your attitude toward the great work, it's going to be easy to talk you down.
Hello.
Sadly, it's a lot easier to talk Christians off the wall than it is on the wall.
Yep.
Come on up here and join us. Well, I just don't... Yeah. Come on up here and join us, Will. It's a great work, Will. Come on up here and join us. Okay, I'll try it for a day. Well, Satan said I got to go down. Okay, where'd he go? Come on. And the preacher's like a cheerleader. Come on up and join us. You can do it. Come on. And Satan just says, come on down one time, and you're going, pew. It's like a puff of smoke.
Come on.
Where'd they go? Because your attitude is not right. That you don't understand that it is a great work that you're doing for God.
Right.
Well, preacher, I can't go like I used to go. I can't do like I used to do. But you can pray.
Amen.
You can give. You can be faithful.
Amen.
It costs money to print these tracks. It costs money to have this sound system. It costs money to put water in that baptistry.
Right.
I'm just telling you, it's not just money, but there's lots of things that we just completely overlook as if it's not important. Nehemiah said, I may be one man. I may just be one man on a great big wall, but I'm not coming down.
That's right.
I'm not coming down.
Amen.
You're not going to buy me down. You're not going to coerce me down. As a matter of fact, frankly, I'm afraid of you. I'm going to stay right here.
Yep.
That's what he said.
Amen.
You ought to be afraid of Satan.
That's right.
Amen.
And just stay where you're at.
Amen.
Avoiding temptation. See, it was no sin to come down off a wall, was it? Well, it was a temptation, though.
Yep.
There's no greater work than building a life for God.
Amen.
Building your knowledge of the Bible. Growing in understanding and wisdom. My soul, I've been burdened about this thing. I've been chewing on that word wisdom for weeks. One of these days I'm going to preach on it. But God's people do not have wisdom.
That's right.
We live our lives like that game show. Well, I think I'll just... That one. Where's your wisdom? Where's your discernment? Why don't you get a hold of God and pray and ask God what you should do?
Yep.
Well, but I think I'll just... that one. And that was that. That's the biggest temptation in the world. If Satan's got that out there, he's going to make that look the best. It's going to look the easiest. It's going to look the most comforting. But I appreciate kids, teenagers, that instead of sleeping in on Sunday morning, they may come to church and sleep, but instead of sleeping in on Sunday morning, they get out of bed, they get themselves dressed. Of course, I hope nobody has to dress these kids by now. And they get on that van and they come to church.
Amen.
You say, why don't we have more of them?
Come on.
Because it takes work to go get them.
Yep.
And very few of you are working to go get them.
Well,
it's a great work.
That's right.
But that's not the typical Christian's attitude.
Amen.
The great work for me is whatever makes me richer, more comfortable, more popular.
Well.
Whatever makes me laugh, whatever makes me smile, whatever gives me that high, whatever gives me that feeling. And instead, God says, no, the great work is where I placed you in my will to build something for me.
That's right.
This church is going to have to be built by God using us.
That's right.
Us. One person comes down off the wall. One person comes down off the wall. And the whole work struggles. The whole work suffers. That's what he said. Why should the work cease? I'm not coming off the wall. Nehemiah, don't be so arrogant. There's a whole army of people working on this wall. I know, but I'm going to stay right here because I have a work to do. And it's a great work.
Oh,
it's a great work.
That's right.
You have work to do.
Amen.
I have work to do. By the grace of God, I stand with Nehemiah. I'm not coming down, Brother Bruce. I'm not coming down, Brother Eddie. I'm not coming down, Brother Sammy. I'm not coming down, Chris.
Hello.
But oh, every day temptation is in my face. Stop preaching so hard. Stop preaching. Stop having such standards. Stop using that King James Bible. Stop singing those songs. Stop this. Stop that. Come on down. We just want to talk for a minute. It's a great work.
That's right.
And if that's your attitude, you'll stay up here with me.
Amen.
Some of you need to get up here with me.
Well.
Some of you haven't given a tithe. Some of you aren't doing anything for this church except sitting in the pews, sucking up the air and sucking up the electricity. And you're not doing anything but being a burden to those of us who are working.
That's right.
Get up on the wall and realize it's a great work.
Amen. That's right.
I don't want to wallow down here with all the enemies of God. I want to get up on the wall and work for God because the night's coming when no man can work.
Amen. That's right.
You can stay down there if you want to.
Amen.
I'm going to try to bring you up. Every time you come to church, I'm going to try to get you up here.
Amen.
But if you're already up here, stay for the... I mean, bless God, stay!
Amen.
Stay! And if you're not, get up here and let's get to work.
Hey.
Come on.
Temptation is always come down. Come down. Come down. Back off a little bit. Lower your standards a little bit. Lower your voice a little bit. Stop telling me to lower my voice. If it's too loud, then wear some stinking earplugs.
Come on.
I'm going to preach the Bible.
Amen. Come on. That's right.
Satan would love to make this church like every other church in this town.
Yep.
Watered down and worthless.
Right.
Get up on the wall. Stay on the wall. It's a great work.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
And if you have that attitude, temptation will not mean anything to you.
That's right.
Because every time you give in to it, you're coming down off the wall.
Amen.
It's a great work. It's a great work. Building families, building lives, building homes, building marriages, building hearts filled with love for God, winning souls, praying, learning, growing. It's a great work.
Amen.
Is it to you?
Amen.
Is it really to you?
Right. Yep.
Are you on the wall?
Oh. Yeah.
Are you doing anything?
Right.
Are you doing anything
well,
for the work?
That's right.
And if not, get up here.
Amen.
And if you're up here, stick. Stay.
Amen.
It's going, by the way, they finished the wall.
Yep. That's right.
Father, I pray you'd bless your word this morning, Lord. I just want your people, Father, to be challenged and to be motivated, to be helped.